Another portrait this evening in regard to the second miracle that Jesus Christ performed. John chapter 4 and verse 46, it says, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee." Let's start with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing upon this time as we spend it in your word. We pray that you give us the wisdom that we need, that your Holy Spirit would do his work in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So a nobleman comes to Jesus with this very urgent request. His son is dying. He is sick and at the point of death. And he's asking Jesus to come and heal his son. And there had to have been a desperation and an urgency in this man. We don't get a lot of the real emotion maybe in this, except maybe verse 49, where he says to Jesus, "Sir, come down ere my child die." But we have to kind of put ourselves in his shoes and understand how desperate this situation was for this man. I'm sure that there were other things that they had tried. All the remedies of that day and all the medicine of that day and the different doctors that they knew. I'm sure they had tried all of these things and nothing had worked. And now he hears of Jesus Christ, and he heard that he had come to Galilee. And so this man was from Capernaum, which was on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he hears that Jesus is leaving Judea, which was in the south, and probably gone up and around Samaria, and now has entered into Galilee. He's come near to where this man was. And so he makes the journey south. I'm not sure how far south he had to go to meet Jesus. And maybe it was, you know, I don't know, but he had to travel somewhere to meet Jesus. And so he asked Jesus, though, when he meets him there, he says, "I want you to come to my house in Capernaum and heal my son." But Jesus doesn't go to Capernaum. Instead, he looks at the man and he says, "I'm just going to say your son is healed and you can go back and see him." And so this is what Jesus does in verse 50. He just says to him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And it says the man simply believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him and he went his way. So Jesus tells the man, "Your son is healed," and the man leaves. And the man takes his journey all the way back home, trusting that what Jesus Christ had said would come to pass. It was this winter. Well, it was the night we had our BBA winter concert. It was that Friday evening. We were going to have a baptism that Sunday. It was the Watsons were going to get baptized. It was their last Sunday. So after the winter concert, it was that Friday night. I was like, I'm going to fill the baptistry. I didn't wanted to fill before. Anyways, I was going to fill after the winter concert. So I stayed after and I filled the baptistry, and then I was going to get the heater going so that the heater would have all night Friday and then Saturday to heat up so it was nice and warm for them on Sunday. So anyways, I'm here after it and the baptistry gets filled, and then I turn the heater on and I go home. So I'm in my car, I'm driving home, I'm on 395, and then I have the thought, did I shut the water off? Did I turn the water off in the baptistry? And I'm like, yeah, I know I did. I definitely did. I had to have. I couldn't have left and left it running, right? I'm like, I know I did. I don't want to have to go all the way back. So I'm driving down 395, but man, that thought would not let me go. Like, did I? We've flooded this place before in different ways, so we won't talk about it. But I was like, I can't. Like, I'm going to be back in the morning. Well, that's like 12 hours of this thing running, and I knew it was already filled to near the top. I'm like, 12 hours is a long time for water to just be pouring out of this baptistry. But I was like, I would not have left. I was doing stuff. I was like, you know, shutting off or turning the heater on and checking to make sure that the water was heating up. I was like, there's no way I left this thing running. But I went, I'm like 99% sure. But there's that 1% where I just didn't trust myself. So I got back to the road that my house is on, and I turned around in that fire station, came all the way back, walked up into this auditorium, and went, yeah, I did shut it off. But I was like, I didn't trust myself, so I had to go back to visually inspect just for myself. And I think about this nobleman, right, on his journey home. All he had was what Jesus had said, that he had to just trust. And I can put myself in his shoes. I would have thoughts like, what if it didn't work? Right? What if Jesus said it, but it didn't happen? Should I go back and make sure? Be like, Jesus, did you do it right? Are you sure that he's healed? Because I'm like, there's the journey home. And then if my son is sick still, I'm going to have to go all the way back to Jesus and then talk to him again. And like all these thoughts of, did it work? Should I go back and check? Should I double check just to make sure that Jesus actually did what Jesus said he was going to do? I can just imagine all of these thoughts going through my mind. But the Noah man, he just goes back home. And the key is in verse 50. He believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. He just believed God, not doubting, not wanting to check, not having to go back and see for himself, just believing God, just believing the word that Jesus Christ said. And so tonight, it's a portrait of what I'm calling unseeing faith. Unseeing faith. I didn't want to use the term blind faith, because generally when we hear the word blind faith, it's used in reference of like a faith that's really unreasonable, like it's just a jump in the dark and we have no idea why we're taking that leap of faith. It usually means like an uninformed, unreasonable faith. But our faith is not uninformed. And our faith is not an unreasonable faith, but it is a faith that doesn't work by sight. And so that's why I'm calling it a portrait of an unseeing faith. An unseeing faith is not an uninformed faith, but it's just a faith that gets its foundation from something other than what we just see. But it's not an uninformed faith. If we have an uninformed faith where we're just trusting, but we don't know why we're trusting, or we don't have any good reason for trusting, we're going to hesitate in our faith. It's not going to be a very certain faith. It's not going to be a very assured faith. It's not going to be a faith that can stand up to a lot of pressure and a lot of trials. An uninformed, unreasonable faith can be a sort of faith, but it's not a very good faith. We're constantly going to be looking back and questioning and wondering. And when Jesus Christ deals with this man, he confronts him, first of all, on the sort of faith that he has, on whether he has an unseeing faith. Because he says in verse 48 to him, Jesus said, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." And Jesus confronts him and says, I wonder if the only way you're going to believe is if you see something. Because he's asked him to come back to the house with him. Like, come with me to my house so I can watch you perform this miracle. And Jesus says, are you just going to believe when you see? When you see the miracle, when you see your son healed, when you see your son raised from his sickbed, is that when you are going to believe? But an unseeing faith doesn't need sight. There's certain medicines that if they're being used, it's usually a bad sign. If you need them, it means you're severely unhealthy. I looked up one just by example called rifampin. Maybe that's how you pronounce it. I don't know. It's a drug that's used to treat tuberculosis. So like if you're prescribed this, it's probably not a great sign. It's also with two others used to treat leprosy. So if you have that one and those other two, bad sign, right? If the doctor's like, hey, I'm not going to tell you what you have, but you need these three. You're like, do I have leprosy? Bad sign, right? If you have all of these, right? Saying I need to see in order to believe, it's a bad sign, right? It's a sign of a faith that's not a very healthy faith. In John chapter 20, it's the account of after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when he's showing himself to the disciples. So he first shows himself to a group of disciples minus Thomas, right? We're familiar with this. Thomas isn't there. So when Thomas arrives back, the disciples are like, hey, we saw Jesus Christ. He is alive. He's risen from the dead. They're probably all excited to see this. And we know what Thomas says, right? He says, except I see him, except I'm able to touch Jesus Christ, I will not believe. There's a reason we call him Doubting Thomas and not like Thomas of great faith or Thomas full of faith or whatever we would call him. There's a reason he's called Doubting Thomas. Because this is the sort of faith that he had that said, unless I physically see it, I am not going to believe. I find it interesting that he wouldn't believe the other disciples, right? Like, what did he think about them? That they were like liars or trying to deceive him? I don't understand why, but he refused to leave his doubts and unbelief behind. He refused to drop all of that and believe. And so he clung to this sort of faith that needed sight, that was very dependent upon what he saw in order to exist. His faith needed sight. But sight doesn't do a great job of helping our faith. Sight does a much better job feeding our unbelief. Needing sight does much more to feed into unbelief. I'm not saying sight can never help faith, because it can, right? And the things that we see can go on to boost our faith. But if we're living very dependently upon sight, it will do more to foster unbelief in us and a questioning faith, a doubting faith, a faith that has to wait until it sees something in order to believe. But if we can see it, then do we really need faith at that point? If you asked me, if you said, Pastor Donnie, is your van out in the parking lot? I would have to say at this moment, I believe it is, right? I saw it there an hour ago, right? But a lot of things can happen in an hour. A lot of you could have done things with my car in an hour. So I cannot see my van currently out there right now. So I would have to say, I believe it's out there. But after this service, if I'm out there standing in the parking lot and you come up to me and say, is your van in the parking lot? I wouldn't have to say I believe it is, because I can look at it and I can see it. At that point, I don't have to believe it's there. I can see it and know it's there. I don't have to have faith that my van is there. Sight is the opposite of faith. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith shouldn't have to wait until it can see in order to be present in our life. It would be like a mechanic saying, I'm not going to work on your car until it's fixed. You're like, okay, well then, like, if it's fixed, why do I need a mechanic? Or a doctor who says, come back and see me when you're healthy. Then I'll address your problems. You go, well, if I'm healthy, then why do I need you, right? And if our faith has to wait until it sees something, then we no longer need faith for that issue, right? If we have a problem in our life that requires faith, that we should be praying about and asking God to deal with or do what needs to be done, but yet our faith says, I don't trust God until I can see something happen, then at that point, we're missing out. Because the point where we need faith is before things happen. An unseeing faith is a sign of a faith that needs sight is a sign of a faith that's not very strong, that is fully dependent upon what we see and not willing to trust in God. Waiting to believe is a bad sign for our faith. But an unseeing faith is a faith that is founded upon the Word of God. So it's not, unseeing faith doesn't need sight. Unseeing faith needs the Word of God. The nobleman, it says, believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. He believed not because of what he saw, but because of what he heard. You know, blind people, it says that research has been done that they compensate for their lack of sight with their sense of touch and also their sense of hearing. And they've done a lot of research on this, and it's shown that people who are blind from birth or like very early in life, they're better at hearing than we are that can see. And their brain almost is rewired to focus more sharply on hearing. And it's not necessarily that they hear more things, it's just that they are able to gather more information from the things that they hear. Research has shown that they are better at using auditory clues to locate where something is in space, like where it is in location to them. And even as it moves, they're able to hear that and locate it better than we are, because we don't need to. We just look at it and can tell where it is. If they can't do that, then they use their hearing to adjust to that. They're better at picking up subtle differences in pitch between pitches in sound. They're better at that. Because they're focused on it. They're focused on the things that they're hearing, and that sound then holds more information for them than it would for us. And our faith doesn't use our eyes. Our faith uses our ears. We have a faith that listens, and it listens to the Word of God. And the more we practice that faith, the more it picks up from what it hears. The more intensely it listens to what God says. John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There's a lot of voices that are talking to us about a lot of different things, right? We have the world that says so many things. There's so many talking heads out there that are giving out a lot of information. But there's one voice above all other voices that we need to be picking out, that we need to be tuned into, and that is the voice of our shepherd. Because he is our good shepherd, he gave his life for the sheep. He is the shepherd that leads us and guides us, that is going to provide for us. It's his voice that we need to be listening to. And as sheep, we have to be tuned to picking out the voice of God, listening closely to what God is trying to tell us. And go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. There's a lot of voices that are telling us to believe in a lot of things, to put our faith in politicians or government or ourself or just a lot of different things. But Jeremiah chapter 17 talks about where we're putting our faith. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land and not inhabited." Verse 7, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Two different options for our faith. One of them, though, leads to a very dry existence, where there's not a lot of growth going on, right? You plant a tree in the desert, it's not going to do well, right? It's a parched place, a salt land. Neither of those are good for growth. But then in verse 8, it talks about a tree that's planted by the water that is going to grow and is going to be fruitful. And it's all based on who you're trusting. Our faith needs to trust in God. Therefore, we need to be listening to God. And Romans chapter 10 connects faith with the word of God. And in the middle is hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul says, all right, how are the people going to believe if they don't hear? If somebody doesn't go and preach the gospel to them, they need the gospel and they need to hear the gospel, right? Faith needs our ears, right? It needs us to listen to the word of God. And I think Romans 10, verse 17 answers the question of how do I have faith? How do I grow in my faith? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You make yourself listen to the word of God. You get yourself in the word of God, and then your faith grows. Faith is grown and strengthened on a consistent diet of the word of God. When we get away from the word of God, our faith is going to shrink and our faith is going to starve. But the more we continue to just feed it, the word of God, over and over, and you know how it is sometimes, right? You don't always believe it the first time you read it, the first time you hear it, but you go over it and over it, or you find other passages that say the same thing. And eventually, the Holy Spirit works faith in your heart. And all of a sudden, you begin to believe what God has said. It's because you have been feeding yourself the Word of God over and over. And that consistent diet is going to strengthen our faith. Our faith needs to be fed. We can't starve our faith and expect that it's going to be healthy. We also can't feed our faith the wrong things. If we try and feed our faith logic, it's not going to be a strong faith. If we try and feed our faith like speculation or guessing or likelihood or like going with the odds on how things will play out, that is not going to make for a healthy faith. But it's when we just feed it the word of God, and when we read about who God is and what God has promised and all the things that God has done, and we just feed it the word of God over and over, it grows our faith, and our faith gets stronger and stronger. Now, I do want to say, if you go back to John chapter 4, talking about an unseeing faith and how we need to hear the word of God, I do want to say in verse 51, it says, "And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house." So when he got home, he saw that the miracle had taken place. And then it says in verse 53 that himself believed in his whole house. So sight does affect our faith, and sight can impact and help our faith, but sight only helps our faith for the next time, not for this time. Sight is great for us going forward. Like, we saw what God just did. So now going forward, we can use that to help strengthen our faith. But if we're in the moment expecting sight to help our faith in this moment, it's not going to. That is going to make us just prolong the time before we trust God. Sight helps great for the next time, but for this time, we need to listen. We need to listen to what God is trying to tell us about himself. If we grow accustomed to using sight in order to bolster our faith, we're going to fall apart when seeing is not possible. We're going to fall. Our faith is going to crumble when we're trying to believe, but there's nothing to see. There's nothing to see God doing. There's nothing to see, like, how the situation is changing. And if we're constantly been feeding our faith a diet of sight, then when there is nothing to see, it's going to fall apart. But there's always something to listen to. There's always something to hear. There's always something, some way we can listen to the voice of God and the Word of God talking to us. And if we're feeding our faith a constant diet of the Word of God, then whether we see or not, our faith is going to be healthy and our faith is going to be strong. Our faith needs to be fed the Word of God over and over. A portrait of an unseeing faith. Unseeing faith doesn't need sight. It just listens. It listens to what God is telling us. We don't have a blind faith that has no reason to believe or no reason to trust, but does it anyways. Our faith is not in a God who is unreasonable. We have a faith that has plenty of reasons to trust in God. And every time we go to the Word of God, we hear more and more how trustworthy God is. But what is our reason for believing? It's not that we've seen anything, because we have an unseeing faith, right? In the trial that we're going through, in the way our life is right now, we're going to believe because we've been listening, because we have an unseeing faith that just decided to hear what God has said to us. That was enough for the nobleman. The Lord said to him, well, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And then when the Lord said, go thy way, thy son liveth, the nobleman could have said, well, I still want you to come to my house anyways, just in case, right? Just in case, why don't you come with me? I don't want to have to go there and then come all the way back if it didn't work, right? He didn't say any of that. He heard what Jesus said, he believed, and he went his way. You know, I spent the whole time my ride home trying to convince myself that I had seen myself turn that water off, trying to picture it in my mind, convincing myself. Like, I'm not absent-minded, I don't think. Don't ask Erica, but I don't think I'm absent-minded, right? I would have known. I've tried to convince myself every way I could, but it came down to I had to see for myself. I just couldn't trust myself. I had to see for myself. That's not a great place to be in our relationship with God, where we say, Lord, I believe you, but I really just need to see. I need to see something. Lord, show me something. The nobleman didn't need to see. He just heard what Jesus said, and that was enough for him. He took the journey home, and he never turned back in doubt or unbelief. Have we started to turn back in unbelief? Have we started to allow questions to form in our mind about what God is doing, or if God is doing anything, or will God stay true to his word? What if we just kept reminding ourselves about the word of God? What if we just started to feed ourselves the Word of God? If we just sat ourselves down with the Bible and said, all right, what has God said? What is God telling me? What can I hear from God today? And we just fed ourselves this consistent diet of the Word of God. I thought, you know what, a great illustration would be Popeye, right? But then I was like, I think we're all old enough to know Popeye at this point, right? Probably the young kids, I don't know if they'll know it, right? But Popeye, I'm not going to go out long into this, but he would get himself in trouble. And then what would he do? He would eat something, right? He would just crack open that can of spinach, gulp it down, and his muscles would pop, and then he's off, and he's going to win and be victorious and all of that. That's us with the Word of God, right? When we get ourselves into trouble, we just feed ourselves the Word of God, and we listen to what God is trying to tell us. We don't need more to see. We need to listen more. That's why we have an unseeing faith. Because it's not about what we see. It's not about looking for things. It's about listening. Let's have a faith that just is listens to what God says, believes, and goes on our way. Let's close with prayer. Lord, I'm thankful that we have the Word of God, that we don't have to guess about who you are, that we don't have to wonder about who you are and what you're able to do, that we can go to the Word of God and find so much to strengthen our faith, to know your character, to know your nature, to know what you have done, and to know what you've promised us that you will do. Lord, help us to listen to your voice. Help us to listen to your word. Lord, in those times when our faith is weak, may we not look around for things to see, but may we listen to what you've told us. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our faith for all that we're going to face. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.